thought this was really interesting. Now, Raven, I know you don't have any small children, but hand-me-downs. Did you ever wear hand-me-downs when you were growing up?
I was the oldest, so I can't say that I really did. I had a couple hand-me-downs in my lifetime. Like, my first car was a hand-me-down from my grandparents, which ironically was a Camaro. What's up, Granddad? Pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was the least awesome of all Camaros ever made, but it was pretty awesome.
So, you know how Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen are like best friends forever?
Yes.
So now they both have small children. Now, Andy Cohen's son is a little bit older than Anderson Cooper's son.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been giving them all the hand-me-downs, which is an interesting conflict here. Because listen to this. This is when Anderson Cooper was having an interview with Ryan Seacrest and Kelly Ripa.
So is Andy Cohen's son giving your son clothes? Is that happening?
So Andy's son, he gets bend-me-downs, as Andy calls them.
But they're such different styles,
well,
your
kids. That's
the
thing. A lot of, you know, the clothes that Andy gets, tie-dye Grateful Dead stuff, which I don't know that that's why it's vibe at this point. I see him more as like a little Amish child. So I would like to dress him just simply.
I thought that this was so funny because this is both their first children. When I had Hayden 12 years ago, my oldest is 12, I refused to put hand-me-downs on that girl. Everything was brand new.
Yeah.
Everything was beautiful. She had a taste. She had a certain style.
There was an outfit for everything. Right.
And like, if I didn't like it, like, she wasn't a Janie and Jack girl. Like, she was like a Rough Rider. Like, that's how I wanted her to dress, you
okay.
know? Dakota, my baby now, she's 2 years old. I will take anything anybody gives me. Old Halloween costumes. I'm like, sure, she could wear this to preschool today. No big deal. Let her wear it.
Why is that, you think? Because you know that it's just more disposable now at this point? You've got the experience. It's like setting money on fire in some ways.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with like the first time you want everything perfect.
Right.
And then after you realize like, hey, this doesn't matter and it's dumb and this is free clothes that they can wear that you don't have to spend money on. And they're going to grow out of it in 5 hot minutes anyway.
Yeah, perfect is an illusion in all things. With children, I'm sure it's the same as anything else.
I wonder how Dakota will feel one day about wearing a clown outfit, a Halloween costume, to her first Christmas, you know?
I mean, when I was younger, we were a hobo every time you forgot to get your costume in time.
Even for Christmas?
Well, no, that would be weird.
Raven and I have been having a competition all week. Who could score the best interview with an Oscar winner? Barney Berman won the 82nd Academy Award. This is back in 2009 for best makeup for Star Trek. He's also done the makeup for Tropic Thunder. He led the NBC makeup team for the show Grimm. Barney, you come from a long line of makeup experts and pioneers in the field.
Well, like 7 or 8 makeup artists in my family, starting with my grandfather. He was a sculptor and a statue maker, and he came out to Hollywood, 40, 41, I think, got involved with a man named Jack Pierce, who was the creator of Frankenstein and the Wolfman and the Mummy. And he made things for Jack. He made the prosthetics for the Wolfman, the silver wolf's head cane that killed the Wolfman. He made Frankenstein's shoes, the animals for the Jungle Book with Sabu, and masks for the Twilight Zone. Did a lot of props, guns, and made a lot of fish. And we had a lot of fun playing with the stuff he had left over.
I'm sure.
I was going to say, I mean, going to Grandpa's house was either strangely terrifying or, you know, fascinating or both at once, I'm thinking.
Indeed. That was just all fun.
Here's Ben Stiller announcing your victory.
The winner is Star Trek. Barney Berman, Mindy Hall, and Joel Harlow.
Did you think you were going to win?
I felt really good about it. I want to say yes, but not in a pretentious or obnoxious way.
Right.
I just felt really zen about it that whole day. And I remember sitting there in the chair and Ben Stiller was talking and he was all made up in blue and he was doing some kind of comedic thing. And I just thought, if you just keep talking, my life is perfect. Once you say the announcement, once you say the name, everything's going to change.
Right.
For the better or worse, I don't know. But right now, it's perfect.
That's awesome.
What is the ultimate costume job, Barney, in your eyes? Do you like the fantasy? Do you like the time period, the retro stuff? What really appeals to you?
I like a mix of things. I like something extreme because it's fun to make, set your imagination free. But I also really like sometimes very, very subtle stuff. I like sometimes just a really well-done bald cap that you just can't tell that guy's got a bald cap on.
You know, I think for most people, it's a lifetime dream and a goal to ever win an Oscar. Was that like that for you? And was it as fulfilling as you had hoped it would be?
It was a dream of mine that I don't think I went around outwardly talking about it, but, you know, in my mind's eye, I thought I'd really, like, love to win an Oscar one day. It'd be great.
Barney, once you win the Oscar, do you have, like, nonstop work? Is your phone always ringing for these? They're like, well, get us the best. Get us Barney.
The funny thing was that at the time, we did Star Trek during a writer's strike, and there was a threatened actor's strike. So because of those two things, nobody was starting any new productions. Right on the heels of that, the economy crashed. So I actually went broke after that. I had no work. All my bank accounts got drained. I ended up getting a divorce. It was a really miserable follow-up to a really great moment.
Oh, it's terrible.
But building off of that after, things started to build and grow and have been flourishing ever since. I kept thinking about, what's her name? I can't remember her name. A Million Dollar Baby actress.
Oh, Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank, yes, was talking about how she won her first Oscar and she went into a McDonald's and couldn't really pay for it. And she had an Oscar and couldn't buy it.
Barney, where do you keep the Oscar? Is it like in your bed? Like, you sleep next to it every night? I think I would.
I strapped it to the hood of my car so police and fire engines will get out of my way. People don't realize that. It's a free pass to everything for the rest of your life. So it's just on a shelf in my office.
Barney Berman, Academy Award winner 2009 for Best Makeup on the film Star Trek.
Coming up next, it's my Oscar pick, and then you'll decide which interview is most fascinating.
Who can score the most intriguing interview with an Oscar winner? Raven and I are in competition, and you're going to decide who wins it. But a few minutes ago, we interviewed Barney Berman. He was my Oscar winner for Best Makeup. He won for Star Trek. And now it's Raven's Oscar winner, Donald Sylvester. He won an Oscar at the 92nd Annual Academy Awards for Best Sound Editing for Ford versus Ferrari.
And the Oscar goes to Ford versus Ferrari.
Ford versus Ferrari is a marriage of sound and picture. So while I really want to thank my fantastic team, the real support comes from home. So I want to thank my wonderful wife of 34 years. Thank you, Academy.
So when you work on over 100 different films and you hear the term sound editing, like, what exactly does that mean?
Don, I imagine you somewhere between running next to Indiana Jones on a motorcycle or being in a helicopter over Godzilla or what?
Well, you know, basically we work after the movie's been shot. All the sound that's recorded on the set then has to be massaged into a soundtrack. They don't record most of the sound. What we do is we add it all in. We're sound adders. So we'll take the sound that's out there in the field and full of all the noises and clunks and things you don't want to hear. Plus, we're also responsible for the performance of the actors. I mean, if there's a mess up, it's our job to go through and see if we can fix it without making the actor come back and re-record it.
We geek out a little bit, Raven and I, here, sound editing, because that's a lot of what we do on the radio, and we know the amount of work that goes into making something come to life.
Right, yeah. But we're working, like, with crayons over here, and you're working with, like, you know, you're working with precise scalpels doing amazing things on productions that are worth, nearly a billion dollars.
Too. We got plenty of crayons.
When did you really, you know, kind of discover that that was something that you were into and you were great at?
I worked in the music business for a long time. And then when I met my bride, she was working in the film business. You know, I wasn't being paid very much and she was being paid just fine. And turned out that because I was sonically sophisticated in the way that I could distinguish sounds, I kind of fit right into the film business.
Don, when it comes to, like, winning the actual Oscar, like, what were you feeling that day? I know you always hear, like, oh, it's just an honor to be nominated, but you want to win, right? Did you think you were going to win?
Of course not. Once I saw how they made the sausage, I thought, oh, well, anybody can win. So, yeah, I mean, there's a good shot I could win, maybe not, but it's all depending on your team.
Your bride, Penny, her father's Robert Shaw, right? Quint from Jaws, is that correct?
One and the same, yes.
Did you meet Penny's dad before he passed?
He passed before I was on the scene. But I've met everybody else in the family, and he's got 10 kids. It's a pretty big mob.
I just think that would be the most intimidating dad interview ever. You know, you mentioned the fact that you guys are really sculpting sound when you're in that room. What is your favorite go-to, this is how we get that sound out of this, but nobody would ever believe it?
Every single solitary film has its own demands, and every sort of soundscape tailored specifically for that film. And I'm going to be honest with you, most things are cheated out of something else. Almost everything you hear that sounds like something, if you turn the lights on and remove the curtain, it would be something similar. And it would be like a recipe of 9 different little things that we cobble together to make it sound like something.
Don, who's the most fun to work with?
I did a couple of Garfields with Bill Murray. Bill was one of the most amazing kind of characters I've ever met. Crazy and creative and high integrity. I mean, I really like Bill Murray.
Donald Sylvester, last year's winner at the Academy Awards for Best Sound Editing for Ford vs. Ferrari. Now you're going to decide who scored the better interview. It's coming up next. Oscars are this weekend, but we have our own competition going on right now, and you'll decide who wins. If you missed it, we just aired 2 interviews. Which one of us had the more fascinating interview with the previous Oscar winner? I found Barney Berman. He won his Oscar for Best Makeup in 2009 for Star Trek. If you missed the interview, here are a few of the highlights. Barney, where do you keep the Oscars? Is it like in your bed?
I strapped it to the hood of my car so police and fire engines will get out of my way. People don't realize that. It's a free pass to everything for the rest of your life. So it's just on a shelf in my office.
And the thing about Barney and the reason why I chose him to be my most fascinating Oscar interview is that he comes from a long line of makeup artists in Hollywood. His grandfather was actually one of the men who pioneered makeup in movies.
He made the prosthetics for the Wolfman, the silver wolf head cane that killed the Wolfman. He made Frankenstein's shoes, the animals for the Jungle Book with Sabu, and masks for the Twilight Zone.
Which is all really pretty impressive and awesome. So you would think after winning an Oscar, you're like rich now, right? And you're probably so busy with work?
The funny thing was that at the time, we did Star Trek during a writer's strike, and there was a threatened actor's strike. So because of those two things, nobody was starting any new production. Right on the heels of that, the economy crashed. So I actually went broke after that. I had no work.
But Raven's interview was with Don Sylvester. He won an Oscar last year for Best Sound Editing for Ford versus Ferrari.
Don Sylvester has not only been involved in a Ford versus Ferrari, obviously, but he's done some of the classic movies that you've seen. Plenty of movies in the Marvel Universe. Tombstone, he's working on the new Indiana Jones 5. We asked him, what does his job really entails as sound supervisor? What does that mean, Don?
Basically, we work after the movie's been shot. What we do is we add it all in. We're sound adders. We're also responsible for the performance of the actors. If there's a mess up, it's our job to go through and see if we can fix it without making the actor come back and re-record it.
You know, the fascinating thing to me is all the different sounds that they generate from sources that you wouldn't really believe or suspect when you're watching the film there. But he was a radio guy, so how did he get into this business after all?
I worked in the music business for a long time, and then when I met my bride, she was working in the film business. You know, I wasn't being paid very much, and she was being paid just fine. And turned out that because I was sonically sophisticated in a way that I could distinguish sounds, I kind of fit right into the film business.
Timing is everything when you're talking about getting into Hollywood, that's for sure, but it doesn't hurt to have a couple family connections. Talking about his wife, Peggy, and her family connections. Penny, her father's Robert Shaw, right? Quint from Jaws, is that correct?
One and the same, yes.
Did you meet Penny's dad before he passed?
He passed before I was on the scene, but he's got 10 kids. It's a pretty big mob.
I'm just thinking about sitting down to dinner with the guy from Jaws. It seems like the most intimidating thing ever.
Oscars are coming up this weekend. Raven and I have had a competition all week long. Who can score the more fascinating interview with the previous Oscar winner? Not the biggest name, the most fascinating interview. And if you missed it, I had Barney Berman. He won an Academy Award in 2009 for Best Makeup for Star Trek. Raven had Don Sylvester. He won last year for Best Sound Editing for Ford versus Ferrari. Now, if you missed either of these interviews, you can listen to them right now on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. Okay, producer Sean and producer John are here with us. They've been calculating all the votes from calls, social media pages, text line. Producer John, let's start with you. What were you hearing vote-wise?
All right, so I think that the sympathy vote is going to come into play here. The first one I saw was that poor guy who had his whole life fall apart after he won. I'm voting for him. I got to admit,
he's doing now. He's doing well now.
Right.
Yeah. So that was one vote for me. That was Barney
Berman. That was a vote for Barney.
Yeah. What else?
All right. And then the next one was Live Long and Prosper. The Star Trek guy wins. I think this person heard Star Trek and didn't need to hear anything else afterwards.
Okay. That's another vote for me. Raven, how are you feeling right now about that?
Well, you know, I mean, what can you do? I don't have a Starship Enterprise or anything like that, so it's hard to compete with that so far. But this guy is working on the new Indiana Jones right now. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
where's Raven's my Don speak. Sylvester supporters?
You do have something in your corner, though, Raven. Voting for Don, anyone who's a friend of Bill Murray is a friend of mine.
Did the 13th Warrior soundtrack. I mean, there's a movie people don't even know. Antonio Banderas would probably invite him over for Thanksgiving.
Producer Sean, what did you see on your side? Were you on social media
social
monitoring?
Media.
Yeah, what did you see?
Oh, yeah. All right. So Brenda on Twitter sent us a message and said she went with Barney because she's a makeup artist and really appreciates and respects the work he does for cinema.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like she's a moviegoer.
That's a vote for me.
Also loves a bald cap, I'm guessing.
Tom on Facebook messaged us and said he went with Donald. He was a car guy, worked with cars for years, and the sounds in Ford versus Ferrari were very realistic and to the point, especially for that time.
That's a vote for you, Raven.
Amazing, considering that they got half that sound out of vacuum cleaners.
And this last one was very simple. Olivia wrote Barney because he seemed funnier.
Okay, that's me.
That makes sense.
A lot of back and forth. So ultimately, who scored the most fascinating Oscar interview?
Not by much. It looks like Barney got it.
Yeah.
That's me!
That means that you got to give your acceptance speech
now. Okay, ready?
Now.
Here we go.
Hold on, music, please.
Yes, yes. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for this honor. I didn't think I would win. Oh my goodness, how much longer do I have? All right, don't start the music. First, I'd like to thank the listener for voting for me. I wouldn't be here without you. And next, I'd like to thank the internet, which helped me Google and find him, and their lax privacy laws online that enabled me to stalk him not only on his personal social media pages, but also listed his home phone number so I could call repeatedly. Oh, and I'd like to thank my husband and my kids, the girls, Dakota and Hayden. Girls, it's past your bedtime. Go to bed. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Woo! If you missed either of these interviews, you can always catch up on our Facebook page. Go check it out at Anna and Raven.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband.
Hello.
How was your mother-in-law's birthday party?
Oh, it was so nice. The family together, the sun was shining. It was all of her favorite things. It was a really nice day.
So it was a surprise party?
Yeah.
So was she surprised?
I think she was, except that my father-in-law may have blew the surprise a little bit, but I think she, for the most part.
Here's the thing. Dad doesn't do well with instructions, right? So my brother told him at least half a dozen times, don't pull right up to the house, park at the next road over, wait till the other cars arrive, and then do it. And then, of course, he pulls right up in the driveway.
This is why I hate surprise parties. Like, it's so complicated. Like, just tell her that you're having a party and people are coming over. I never understand this. Alicia, are you a fan of surprise parties?
I am. I think that it's cool, although I've never had one in my life.
Well, I don't want one. You can have mine if I ever have one.
Like, feels like the onus is on me now to make sure that that happens sometime relatively soon.
I'm just saying, I've never had one. I think it's cool when people are surprised like that, except I don't want to show up looking like homeless. Like, somebody's got to be like, you need to be dressed up. Like, you got to trick me and tell me I'm going somewhere because, you know, I need to have my makeup and my hair and, you know.
Well, that's what happened at my bridal shower. I had a surprise bridal shower and it was huge. It was like 150 women. And like, I showed up and my roots were like down to my ears. I wasn't wearing anything pretty. I was like, Ma, like, are you kidding me? And after that, I was like, I never want to surprise anything ever again. I look at the pictures of me and my bridal party, but the bridal party looks beautiful. It's like they found me on the side of the road. I'm in the middle of all these pictures.
They saved you. It was an outreach program.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Bridal shower. You're supposed to be part of that planning. That's
not in my family.
You're supposed to look your best at your bridal shower.
That's
terrible, Anna.
So how's been cleaning out your basement? I know that you're getting ready to start construction, and my heart goes out to you because I'm on week 7 of my construction in my kitchen, and I've gained 7 pounds.
I am so excited about the basement getting done. The only downfall is the basement now lives upstairs in the living area. So
right.
All that furniture, all that stuff is just shoved in random places. And of course, we're having company tomorrow that we've actually never met. There's also cardboard boxes blocking off our staircase so Barkley can't go up and down the stairs. It's a mess here. It really is.
Yeah, that's kind of how my house is. I've just gotten used to the fact that I live with Ramboard on my floors now. That's just how we roll.
Alicia is a clean freak anyways. Like, she keeps everything so orderly. She's always constantly walking around talking about the house is filthy, and I can't see anything wrong with it. She forgot the tax paperwork is still on the dining room table, too. So it's anywhere you turn right now, it's just chaos.
Wait, what strangers are coming to your house tomorrow?
So, you know, my sister in California, we found each other. We're going on 2 years now. She has an older sister. She's coming to meet me and my siblings.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, bringing her husband, kids, the whole line.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, as far as we're concerned, we're all sisters, so it's exciting.
You know, you hear all these stories about the 23andMe and the Ancestry.com, but, like, it's really nice that it worked out so well for you because you have such a nice relationship with a sister that you didn't even know you had.
Right, right. Yeah. It doesn't always work that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week?
I'm not sure that I even saw him much this week, so I'm going to give him a B, Anna. I don't think you really messed anything up. I haven't seen him.
That's always the thing. Whenever you don't see him, he gets a good grade. Raven, just keep hiding. You're doing
I do
a good
better
job.
And better.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Also on our text line this morning, Raven, if you pop or smack your chewing gum while you're talking to people, that's all I need to know about you.
Some people are aggressive chewers and poppers. It's
true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that when I read it. Do kids still get in trouble at school for chewing gum? And can the teachers even tell behind the masks?
I don't think you can blow bubbles.
But you can smack and you can like pop a...
Probably.
You know?
I don't know. You know, I mean, when you see it every day, you think that a teacher knows what they're looking for. So they can probably identify that pretty quick.
But I wonder if they even care anymore. Is that still a thing? Like, remember when we were growing up, like, right. God forbid you had gum in school.
They would always be under the tables, too. That would be a big deal. I mean, I guess if you're doing it remotely, they don't care whether or not it ends up on a table.
I wonder if that's still a problem. Do kids still put gum under their desks at the school?
It's the grossest thing. If you ever reach under a table in a public spot like that, you know
so
that you're going to encounter some of that.
I got to check the diners lately. I wonder if people still do that. It's like a mystery for this weekend.
Right. If you put a body on top of whatever it is that you're carrying in the back of your pickup truck as a way to, you know, stop said item from flying out of the pickup truck when you get on the highway or whatever it may be, that's all I need to know about you.
A body?
Yeah, like a person. Right.
What?
You're just like, here, sit on this and we'll totally be fine instead of strapping something down. I went and I picked up over 650 pounds worth of stuff to stack in a truck yesterday in my kid's truck. And we contemplated for just a moment putting his 120-pound girlfriend on top of those boxes so they wouldn't fly out.
Well, wouldn't you
then
think
we found rope.
Wait, but for 120 pounds, that's pretty little. Like imagine that there's a big gust of wind. Isn't she going to go flying with whatever's in the truck?
Right. I mean, it was like a 10-foot, like I said, 600-pound box. So if that thing caught any air, it would be like a lever she would have launched out.
Yeah.
Catapulted, really.
Probably smart idea not to do that.
Yeah, that's all I need to know about you.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
Okay, when you bump into someone you haven't seen for a while, they're like, oh, yeah, we'd love to have you come by and visit. Like, come by anytime. We put on the coffee. So it's here. Give me a date. Give me a time. I'll bring the dessert. I'll bring the app. Just as they drop by anytime. That means don't come over ever.
Yeah. At the same time, sometimes when they're like, oh, we should get together. And you're like, oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Really? You're like, I wish I hadn't walked in this store. It goes both ways. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I need to know about you.
And Ann Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you eat at McDonald's or a fast food place and you leave your garbage all over the table and wrappers for someone else to throw away and you just get up and leave, that's all I need to know about you.
There ain't no waitress here, man. Come on. Seriously. You know what I hate even worse is they're eating at their car. The fast food joints, they have the trash can right next to the exit. They pull out of the exit and throw it right in the street.
I've seen that.
1-800-330-9999. You could always call or text, too. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Picture it. You got your favorite jammies on. You're all cozy, sound asleep in your bed. Got your comforter wrapped around you, your pillow under your head. And then all of a sudden you hear, what was that? Your eyes fly open. You heard a strange noise in the middle of the night. Now what are you going to do?
Is it a monster? Is it a burglar? Did a jet just run into our house? What is going on here?
Happened to me last night. I was sound asleep, and I heard that big boom. And, you know, my eyes fly open. I live in an old house. It was built in 1938. So whenever I hear things like that, I immediately think, finally, the ghosts are coming out to reveal themselves.
Right, right. We removed the wrong panel in the kitchen renovation, something like that. Something's been unleashed at
this
point.
We've awakened the demon that lives in the attic. That's why I refuse to go up there.
Right.
And it turns out I'm not alone. 13% of people believe that when they hear that noise in the middle of the night, that it's a ghost. But 19% of people automatically assume it's a burglar. What do you think it is when you hear that noise in the middle of the night?
Well, I'm thinking about my bedroom right now. And the truth is that my wife has flashlights on both of our nightstands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which is a great idea. Yeah, I guess, you know, if the power goes out or whatever. Here's the thing. There's nothing but windows in our room. There's plenty of windows. So it's hardly ever so dark that you would not be able to figure out how to get from the bed to the door anyways. Next to her side of the nightstand, there's also a bat. Not like a full-size bat, but like a bat that's large enough to, like, take your head off if you need to, you know, with that bat, but also get a good full swing on it if you're, you know, a female.
It's really ironic because they have the top six things that people do when they hear the noise in the middle of the night. And number six on that list is immediately grab a weapon that they have nearby.
I mean, this bat looks like it would be like a trucker's thing to check the tires to. Like, it's old. It's gnarled. It's like, you know, Negan from Walking Dead bat.
What do you do? So I'm looking at this top six things that people do when you hear the noise in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Because I'm shocked that mine isn't on here.
Yeah, I try and go back to bed immediately, but my wife, you know, typically keeps nudging me until I get out of bed, mm-hmm. and then I have to go check it out. And not only is it not okay, I can't just, you know, raise my head and listen for a minute. Like, she makes me leave the room.
To go see.
Go downstairs.
Right.
I have to walk around the house. It's freezing. I'm in my boxers. It's just not fun.
Right. Actually, that's number four on the list, too, is make your significant other get out of bed to investigate. She's crossing off a couple of these boxes. Yeah.
Right.
Number five on the list is check the security system. Number three is wait to see if the dog barks. Number two is get out of bed to investigate, which if you're the husband or the person that's being nudged, I assume that's you.
I mean, what good happens if I go down there and there is an intruder? Wait. Honey, there's definitely an intruder.
He's here.
Make sure you call.
Number one thing that people do is wait to not do anything unless they hear another noise. Okay, how come nobody does what I do? I just hide under the covers and pretend like it didn't happen because I assume it's the ghost. And I know that if I take my head out from under the covers, there's going to be a figure standing right beside my bed and then I'll never be able to sleep ever again.
Or levitating. Right,
oh,
just right
gosh.
There, floating entity.
Nobody else hides under their sheets like me? I find that really hard to believe.
I mean, it's probably just the wind.
Mm.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Every Friday, meet up with two of my best friends. We have a margarita, and we just breathe. A lot about talking about what happened this week, why we earned that margarita, what the kids did to drive us crazy. You can call or text or head to our Facebook page at Anna and Raven or call 1-800-330-9999. What did you do, Mama, to earn that margarita this weekend? Raven, Dakota, my toddler, she is obsessed with dinosaurs right now.
Okay.
She's got about 600 of those little plastic dinosaurs.
I love dinosaurs.
You've probably seen them in my purse. Hold on, here she is making her roar.
Roar.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. But what she does is she constantly takes her chubby little hands, right?
Yeah.
And she takes the dinosaur and she shoves them in my face with all the force that she has.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Rawr!
Yeah, dinosaurs, they were scaly. They had, you know, fins on them and stuff. That's rough.
The pointy plastic tail of a Brachiosaurus almost blinded me on Wednesday.
You got to be careful. My
husband comes running in. He's like, "Are you okay? What happened?" I'm like, "Dakota with the dinosaur!" Right? Just going crazy.
Well, it sounds like you earned your margarita for this week.
I definitely did. On our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, Wendy wrote, "My son told me he only loves me on sunny days."
Oh, aww. That's hurtful.
Wendy, you deserve a margarita.
That's how kids talk.
Carrie said, both my kids ended up with strep throat. No. Ariel wrote, went to a trampoline park and realized why there were no other moms jumping. My bits can't hold up. Enjoy your margarita, Ariel. Hi, it's Anna on Raven. Mama, what did you do to earn your margarita this weekend?
I'm a single mom for the past 5 weeks, and my son threw up all over the floor. the other night because he couldn't make it to the bathroom, and I had to clean it up.
Oh, gosh.
I love it when it gets to, like, demon spew. Oh. Like, you know it happened with kids. It's it's a thing. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what? You earned your margarita. Enjoy it. Just don't smell it first because then you won't be able to drink it. Trust me. All right, Mama, what did you do to earn your margarita today?
Well, this week I was a videographer for several of my teenage daughter's TikTok videos, and she would do the same 10-second dance over and over and over. And then she would complain about the lighting, the angles. I mean, it was just painful.
That is a terrible job.
I hate that job. Like when when I go out and it's me and the wife, or it's like me and a group of her girlfriends or whatever, none of the other guys volunteer to take the phone and take the picture. But I do. I try and do it. And it's always, you know, no.
Take it again.
8 photos in. I'm like, yeah, just whatever.
Yeah.
I get so mad.
Now imagine doing it to your teenage daughter when she's trying to go viral on TikTok.
Right.
You enjoy that margarita. You earned it. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do to earn your margarita this Friday?
Well, I volunteered to be in charge of my kids' school online fundraisers, and it's finally done. And we raised $18,000 for the school.
That is awesome.
Right, you're a hero.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Mama, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Man, this week I spent 4 days at home with my 3.5-year-old potty training him. He refuses to go on the potty seat. He's just been running around with no pants for days, and he still won't do it. So you know what? I earned 3 margaritas.
3 margaritas. That's a lot. Potty training is the worst. I can't get Dakota even to be interested, and I'm starting to panic because she can't start her preschool in September if she isn't potty trained, and she has no interest. I don't know what to do.
I mean, 3 margaritas finished? You might potty on yourself. Be careful.
Sometimes you just need to get things off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, there, I said it. Raven, I think bacon is overrated. There, I said it.
Oh, come on. You're crazy.
It is.
It's an unpopular opinion, but you know what? Sometimes that's what your opinion really stacks up to. I've been buying my clothes at Costco lately. I bought 3 shirts from Costco the other day. As a matter of fact, they're all the same shirt. They're just 3 different colors. And all my boxers now, Costco boxers. There, I said it.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Go ahead.
Hey, so I think my daughter's math teacher stinks and is a terrible teacher. I mean, I feel like you can't really say any teacher is bad because you can be shunned, but some teachers just aren't good, and she's not. She shouldn't be teaching if she hates kids and wants to talk about her boyfriends. So there, I said it.
I'm with you.
They're not all good. It's true, and you can't say it. You're right, because people, like, all of a sudden, they think you're a bad person.
They think you're the bad parent, or your kid's acting up, or right now during COVID times, even worse, they just think you're a terrible human being.
Yeah, no, there's good teachers and there's bad teachers. And I think teachers know that too. They just don't want to tell everybody else that it's okay to say that.
Right.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. There, I said it.
Hey, yeah, watermelon blows. How about that? It's disgusting, and it's never good as anyone ever hypes it up to be. So, ugh, there, I said it.
I don't know, man. I love watermelon. Right, if it's the right, I don't like it when it's not flavorful. When you walk up and it's like faded and it's not flavorful and you're upset about that, that's heartbreaking.
But it is true that you get more bad watermelon than you do good watermelon. You have to really get it at the right season, at the right time to get a good sweet watermelon. Otherwise, it just tastes like a piece of foam in your mouth, like that furry texture. You know what I'm talking about? It's got that weird.
What are you doing walking around eating furry foam?
It's like a sponge, but like without taste,
The worst stuff tastes like a pool noodle. Everyone will tell you that. It's awful.
I mean, it's kind of accurate, to be honest. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. There, I said it. Go ahead.
I love to get manicures and pedicures. I think it's terrible that people think men shouldn't get them. There, I said it.
There you go, bro. We park our cars in the same garage. Well, I can't fit a car in my garage, but I love manis and pedis. Nothing like a combo day. And I only need the basic. But, you know, if somebody wants to, you know, splurge on me and give me the green tea rub or anything like that, I'm cool with that. I had paraffin done last time. That's a little tingly, but
Raven,
it felt great.
Loves pedicures. I find it very, very strange. But listen, if that's your thing, you roll with it. Go for it.
Bro, we can go together. Yep. We'll make a day out of it.
I mean, how many times are you going to use the word bro? That's what bros do. These bros are going to get pedicures.
That's right. I found a bro who will do it, man. I want to bro up on this.
Yep. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. There, I said it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Disney movies are overrated. They haven't put out a decent movie in decades, okay? I hate it. Frozen, all right? It sucked.
No, Frozen was good. You're wrong,
wow.
Man. I'm sorry.
Wow.
It was a fantastic movie.
But you've watched them, right? So, I mean, you said you hated Frozen. For me, I would quickly agree with you and then just realize that I haven't actually watched any of their recent, like, animated films in a long time. So, of course, I'm biased.
Did you see Moana?
I've seen all of them, and they're really, really bad, especially Frozen 2. Don't get me started on Frozen 2.
I liked Frozen 2. I did.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Marie and James. Marie, what's going on?
My husband and I, we have a 3-year-old son. We went over to my friend's house last weekend, and they have a live-in nanny, and the nanny was, you know, touching my child, you know, picking him up, putting him in the swings, you know, playing with him.
Okay.
I thought it was nice. I didn't have, like, a problem with it. I know we're in COVID times. I get it. But James did not like that.
James, why?
I just don't think anybody besides my wife and I should be touching my son. I mean, especially in COVID times, and the nanny was all over him, picking him up, putting him on the slides, and I don't want anyone touching my kids. That's all.
I mean, on the surface, I guess I kind of get that. But on the other hand, I mean, that person is caring for the children that your children are playing with. Inevitably, your kids are touching those kids, right? So, I mean, we're not in spacesuits out here.
I think it's up to mom and me to, you know, put him on the swings and, you know, do all that. Pick him up and brush him off.
But
and,
where were you in you this know, situation?
Those are the Bonnie times.
Like, where were you? Like, were you close by? Because I can't imagine that any nanny or child caretaker would all of a sudden push mom or dad out of the way to help their child on a swing or a slide if they were right there.
That's an aggressive nanny.
Yeah, I get that. I was talking to Chuck. That's the playdate's husband.
Okay.
And the girls were talking, and we're talking, but they basically the girls were letting the nanny do all that.
I see. So no one is watching the 3-year-olds except for the nanny, but you just don't approve of the nanny touching the child.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I wanted to make sure I got that all straight now.
Yeah. I mean, if you're quicker and you're around, then I guess that makes sense. On the other hand, I like the insurance policy. That's me.
So what exactly would you like, James?
I just seem to think that Marie should make, you know, our 3-year-old a priority and not leave it up to the nanny. I think it's up to Maria. You know, maybe Marie should tell the nanny, you know, politely, not to touch our children on the play dates. That's all.
You guys go there often?
Yes, I do. And I've met the nanny, and I just think James is being crazy right now. I mean, like, she doesn't have COVID. Like, I get it. I get the boundaries, but I just don't. I don't agree. I know them. I know the family.
Okay. Well, our audience may agree with you, Marie. They may agree with you that James is being ridiculous. And, you know, this is a woman who's hired to help out with the children. And that's exactly what she's doing. But they also may see his side, too, that if he's uncomfortable with a stranger, it's not your nanny touching your child, then you should make it clear, hey, don't worry about my kid. I'll take care of him.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Truthfully, I don't even know how to describe that call we just got. So here's the thing, is that Marie and James have a 3-year-old and they have a steady play date with another 3-year-old. Now, this 3-year-old has a nanny that works with the family. So James went with his wife Marie to this play date and didn't like the fact that the nanny was touching their son.
I mean, the nanny was helping their kid get on the swing set, playing
down
around
the
in the yard.
Like,
but I mean, this is typical regular type thing
right.
for somebody that's, you know, watching children.
Right. But he says that nobody except them should ever touch his child, regardless if they're just assisting while they're doing their play date.
And while he says this, he's hanging out with the other husband and just grilling and talking and not actually doing anything with his kid.
So he wants to tell his wife, no, you can help him play on the playground, but I don't want any stranger ever to touch him. Is he out of line for asking this? Making this request? It's a Couples Court. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. I think the husband is being absolutely ridiculous. If you're worried about COVID, then maybe you shouldn't have your kid playing with other children. And on another note, he has 2 legs. If he's uncomfortable with the situation, he can go over there and correct the situation.
Right. Seems like a practical answer to a pretty nonsense question. Thanks for the call.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Marie and James have a 3-year-old son, and Marie takes him to a play date every single week. Now, this past week, James tagged along, and what he saw, he didn't like. He he didn't like the fact that the other child's nanny was playing with the kids, including his own. He doesn't think a stranger should ever be touching his child.
While James was engaged with conversation with the father of the other child, he didn't do anything to step in and change this behavior. After, he says to Marie, nobody should be helping our kid get on the slide or on the swing set. It should be you or me and only us, nobody else.
Do you think he has a point, or is he being ridiculous about this? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi, good morning. Oh my God, is this for real? That father is nuts.
Yeah, I think his biggest problem is he puts it all on his wife to take care of the baby, and he's worried about the nanny, but what's he doing? He's not doing anything.
Typical.
That's what I mean. He was present. He was there. If he had a problem with it, at that moment, he'd say, okay, I got my son or I got my kid. Don't worry. But he didn't say anything, and the nanny thinks she's helping out. So he has a screw loose. I'm sorry.
Agreed. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. I think the husband's crazy. I really and truly do. Because if the kids are playing with his kids and the nanny takes care of those kids, how is it that that nanny's going to do something to his? And then he's off talking and he expects his wife to stop talking to watch the kid, but he can talk.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
He's just really just too much. It doesn't even sound logic what he's saying.
Right, and this is going on during their play date together now. But, I mean, already, Marie already said that she goes over there all the time. These kids are playing together all the time. So what are you worried about today? This has been happening for a month before you got here.
Touching the kids that are playing with your kids, then if she gets something, everyone will get it.
Right. Thanks for the call.
I just keep thinking I need more friends with nannies.
Right?
Right.
But it sounds great. Like, yeah. What a problem to have.
Oh, hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
He's nuts. I've been a nanny before, and it's part of your job. There's kids there, and you just kind of, you know, work with all the kids. It kind of feels like it's the expectation. And on top of that, it's good for the kids to kind of get used to other people. It's healthy, and it seems like he thinks the mom should jump in. If he has a problem, he could jump in.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Marie, our audience agreed with you. James, you got to kind of step back a little bit. Marie, obviously, if you know this is bothersome to your husband, you have to make sure you're more engaged with your son during these play dates. But, James, if this is somebody who seems responsible, you know, you can't be on top of your son all the time.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Marie, that's going to make you happy, right?
Yes, it does. I mean, I knew I wasn't crazy, all right?
It would just get awkward when you're over there, too. I mean, if this is somebody that's been vetted and takes care of your friend's family and is, you know, loved and welcomed into their home, suffice to say they're probably trustworthy. But, you know, if something bothers you when you see it on the outside, it's good for you to say something.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Donna.
Donna, please ask Raven to leave the room.
Hey, Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Donna.
All right, Donna, we have 5 questions here. All you have to do is get more right than Raven gets right. If you do it, you win $3,400. But you can't tie him. You got to beat him. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, Vanessa Hudgens shared that she met her boyfriend, Cole Tucker, through a Zoom meditation. On what baseball team does Cole Tucker play shortstop and outfielder?
Pittsburgh Pirates.
Number two, the Office star Ed Helms says that a 4-year-old recently called him Nard Dog, a nickname for his former Office character. What was the name of that character?
Andy Bernard.
Number three, Downton Abbey sequel is set to hit movie theaters this Christmas. What is the name of the family in Downton Abbey that all the drama surrounds? Here's a hint. It's the last name of Lady Edith.
Dockery?
Number four, McDonald's is teaming up with K-pop superstars BTS for their own meal. Their meal will have a 10-piece chicken nugget, medium fries, medium drink, as well as sweet chili and Cajun dipping sauces. How many members are there in BTS?
7.
And number five, Oscars are this Sunday. Name one actress nominated for Best Actress in a Leading Role.
Oh, my God.
Time's up, Donna. I know, it's tough. Well, you know what? These were really hard. Let me bring Raven back in. He's not looking at me. Come on.
Yo.
All right, Donna got 3 out of 5, but they're hard.
3 out of 5 is pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Vanessa Hudgens shared that she met her boyfriend, Cole Tucker, through a Zoom meditation.
Okay.
On what baseball team does Cole Tucker play shortstop and outfielder?
Plays for the Pirates, right?
Yep. Number two, The Office star Ed Helms says a 4-year-old recently called him Nard Dog, a nickname for his former Office character. What was the name of that character?
He's Andy Bernard, proud Cornell graduate.
Yes. Number three, Downton Abbey sequel is set to hit movie theaters this Christmas. What is the name of the family in Downton Abbey that all the drama surrounds? Hint, it's the last name of Lady Edith.
It's Crowley, isn't it?
Yes. How do you know that?
My wife watches now.
Number four, McDonald's is teaming up with K-pop superstars BTS for their own meal. Sounds delicious. 10-piece chicken nuggets, medium fries, medium drink, as well as sweet chili and Cajun dipping sauces.
Okay.
How many members are in BTS?
It's either 5 or 7. I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to say 5.
Nope, it's 7.
Ah!
And number 5, Oscars are this Sunday. Name one actress nominated for Best Actress in a Leading Role.
Viola Davis.
Yes, that's from Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Get some!
All right, I don't think we need to jump up and scream, get some, Raven. To me, that seems like a little bit much.
All right, $3,500 on Monday.
Donna, he beat you 4-3. We will give you an Anna on Raven t-shirt.
It's Donna and I can't be Raven.
Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.